بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن أحسن الكلام كلام الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وإن شر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. So today's lesson number 43 in our series on أعلام سنة المنشورة of Sheikh Hafiz Al-Hakimi رحمه الله. And in the previous lessons we've been looking at belief in the books of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Imanu Bil-Kutub. And the Sheikh spoke about belief in the books in general, the general belief in the books of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We mentioned the Torah and the Injil, the Zabur, the Suhuf of Ibrahim and Musa alayhim as-salam. And then he went on to speak about the Qur'an. And the Qur'an is from the Kalam of Allah. The Qur'an is the Kalam of Allah. It is his attribute, his sifah of Kalam. And the Shaykh spoke about this issue which happened in the Muslim Ummah, this discussion about the Qur'an. Is it created? Is it not created? And this discussion entered the Muslim Ummah because some people, they entered into falsafa and Kalam, and they began to speak about Allah and His names, His attributes. They began to speak about it on the basis of philosophy, falsafa, which is taken from the Greeks and from the Yahud and from the Nasara and from the Sabi'ah. And this came into the Muslim nation. They began to speak about the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon jahl, upon ignorance. And they began to dispute about the Qur'an. And they began to say that because Allah does not have any attributes, like the Jahmiyyah, Allah does not have any sifat, does not have any attributes, then what is this Qur'an? This Qur'an, because it's not his speech, then it must be something created. It is makhluq, something created. This Qur'an that we read, the Arabic Qur'an. So the Shaykh spoke about that, and we clarified that the Qur'an is the Kalam of Allah. It is His speech. And we made a distinction between when we say the Qur'an is the Kalam of Allah, غير مخلوق, not created, we are speaking about the Qur'an that Allah spoke. When Allah spoke, when Allah said, when He spoke the Qur'an, His speech is uncreated. And then as for how the Qur'an is conveyed, when the Qur'an is conveyed through Jibreel alayhi salam, through the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when it's recited, and likewise when we recite it, then our voices, they are created. Our voices are created. And the paper is created, and the ink is created. These things are created. But the words which are conveyed, those words are the words that Allah spoke. Allah spoke. So Allah, He is the one who said, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Allah said that. And when Allah said that, that is uncreated, غير مخلوق. Because Allah is uncreated, without beginning. And so His sifat are uncreated. And whatever He says, whatever He does, none of that is created. So when Allah spoke the Qur'an, His speech is uncreated, right? This is what we are referring to. When we read the Qur'an from Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, all the way to the end, to the, you know, min al-jinnati wal-nas, all the way to the end, then all of that, Allah spoke that. Allah, this is Allah's speech. And when Allah spoke that, His speech is uncreated. Right? And so the Shaykh, in the lessons that we did previously, we made a distinction between the qira'ah and the maqru, and the lafz or the talaffuz, which is the pronunciation, and the malfuz, that which is being pronounced. Right? We made a distinction between those two things. So today we're going to continue, and we're going to look at question number 85. Question number 85. And the question is, من هم الواقفة وما حكمهم؟ من هم الواقفة وما حكمهم؟ So this question is, who are the waqifa, and what is their ruling? What is their ruling? So who are the waqifa? And the Shaykh goes on to explain, الواقفه هم الذين يقولون في القرآن لا نقول هو كلام الله ولا نقول مخلوق. Right. So this is a group of people which historically they came. And they say, they are the ones who say about the Qur'an, we do not say it is the kalam of Allah, it is the speech of Allah, nor do we say it is something created. We don't say this, and we don't say that. So he says, قال الإمام أحمد رحمه الله تعالى من كان منهم يحسن الكلام فهو جحمي ومن كان لا يحسنه بل كان جاهلا بسيطا فهو تقام عليه الحجة بالبيان والبراهين. Right, so he says, Imam Ahmad said, rahimahullah ta'ala, from these people, whoever from these people is someone who is like learned in his speech, meaning he's smart, he's clever, and he's saying this. Right, he's saying, look, I'm not saying this and I'm not saying that. He says, this person is, in fact, he's a Jahmi. Right? Meaning, this person actually really believes the Qur'an is created, but he just doesn't want to say it. So he's just trying to hide and conceal. He's saying, look, I'm withholding, I'm not saying anything. I'm not saying this, and I'm not saying that. I'm not saying it is the speech of Allah, I'm not saying it's something created. I'm not saying any of these two, right? He's withholding. And in reality, this person, فَهُوَ جَحْمِيٌ, this person is just using this to really hide his real belief, right? وَمَنْ كَانَ لَا يُحْسِنُهُ بَلْ كَانَ جَاهِلًا بَسِيطًا. But as for the one who is someone, we know that he's not really someone like who he's kind of learned and proficient in explaining himself. He's an ignorant person. This person, we establish the proof against him. We establish the proof against him, bil bayan wal barahin, with evidences from the Quran, from the Sunnah. فَإِن تَابَ وَآمَنَ بِأَنَّهُ كَلَامُ اللَّهِ كَلَامُ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى غَيْرُ مَخْلُوقٍ وَإِلَّا فَهُوَ شَرٌّ مِنَ الْجَهْمِيَّةِ. Right, so this is the person, we advise him, we correct him, we bring him evidences to show that this Qur'an is the speech of Allah. It is Allah's speech. It is not created. So either he repents and he says, okay, I understand, I accept, I believe. And he believes that it is the kalam of Allah. It is Allah's speech. It is not created. Otherwise, if he doesn't, then this person is more evil than the Jahmiyyah, right? Because the Jahmiyyah, they are open. They say, this Qur'an is not the speech of Allah. It is something created. It is something created. Right? So they are open. They say it openly. The Waqifah are the ones who basically they are playing games. I'm not saying this, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying this, I'm not saying that. But really inwardly, they actually do believe the Qur'an is created. But outwardly, they're not saying it. Because they want to protect themselves, they want to shield themselves. So it's almost like, in a way, they are behaving, I guess, like the hypocrites would behave, where, you know, they conceal something inside, but they are not, you know, they do not say it outwardly what they really believe. So this is the speech of Sheikh Hafiz al-Hakimi rahimahullah. And Sheikh Ahmed al-Najmi rahimahullah, he just has a brief one, like, comment. يعني أشد من الجحمية, meaning this person, who doesn't express and he says, I don't say this and that, these people are more evil than the Jahmiyyah. And he says, فالذي يقول إنه متوقف لا يقول القرآن كلام الله لا يقول إنه مخلوق هذا يبين له فإن رجع وإلا فهو شر من الجحمية. So repeat the same thing, Sheikh Ahmed al-Najmi. And okay, so this is question number 85. So basically the Waqifah are a group of people who they are really Jahmiyyah, but they are pretending not to have a position. They are saying, we're not going to say it's the Kalam of Allah, we're not going to say it's created, we're not saying anything. So this really is a people who are trying to protect themselves and shield themselves, even though they hold on to this false belief that the Quran is not the speech of Allah, meaning Allah did not speak it, and it must be something created. The next question, question 86, is now related to another group. This group is known as Al-Lafziyyah. This group is known as the Lafziyyah. Al-Lafziyyah. So the question is, ما حكم من قال لفظي بالقرآن مخلوق؟ ما حكم من قال لفظي بالقرآن مخلوق؟ What is the ruling on the one who says my recitation of the Quran, when I recite the Quran, my recitation of the Quran is created? What is the ruling on this person? Right? What is the ruling on this person? Okay. So we should understand that there are different positions, right? Different positions. So we start here with the Jahmiyyah, right? They are saying Allah does not speak. Allah does not have speech, does not have kalam. So this Quran that we have, this has got to be the speech of man. This has got to be created. This is something, you know, right? So the Salaf, they refuted them and they exposed the Jahmiyyah and the Mu'tazila. And Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah, you know, when he was forced to debate these people, he established that the Quran is the Kalam of Allah. Allah spoke the Quran. It is not created. So when Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah, when he defeated the Jahmiyyah and the Mu'tazila, these people were humiliated and everybody began to hate them. They began to hate the Mu'tazila and they began to hate the Jahmiyyah. And so they dwindled in numbers. But these people were still present, and so they took different approaches. So from them were those who then remained silent. Right? Even though the position of Ahlul Sunnah was to say Al-Qur'anu Kalamullah Ghayru Makhluqin. Right? Everybody, this is the belief that everybody began to say after in the time of the Salaf and with Imam Ahmad. But these people, the Waqifa, they are saying, oh, we don't say this and we don't say this. Right? This is one group. So these are basically, they are cowards and they are concealing their real belief, and they are not brave enough to say it. Why? Because now the situation has changed. The position and the view of Ahlul Sunnah is well known because of Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah. So now they are not brave and they withhold. There's no reason for you to withhold, because you know you should be saying Al Quran, Kalamullah, Ghayru Makhluqin. What's preventing you from saying that? Right. So this is one group. Then there's another group who are coming with some ambiguous, some ijmal, something which is muhtamal, something which can be, it can mean this and it can mean that. So this question, ما حكم من قال لفظي بالقرآن مخلوق. that my, what is the ruling on the one who says my recitation of the Quran is created? So the Sheikh Ahmed Al-Najmi rahimahullah, Sheikh Al-Hafiz Al-Hakmi rahimahullah, he answers the question and he says, هذه العبارة لا يجوز إطلاقها نفيا ولا إثباتا. Right, this expression, this statement, لفظي بالقرآن مخلوق, my recitation of the Quran is created. This is not, it's not permissible to use this expression, to use it, whether in affirmation or negation, right? Meaning, it is not permissible for us to say, lafzi bil Quran makhluq, or to say, lafzi bil Quran ghayru makhluq. We are not allowed to say either one, right? So we do not say, my recitation of the Quran is created. Nor do we say my recitation of the Quran is uncreated. Right? Because, as the Shaykh was on to explain, لِأَنَّ اللَّفْظ مَعْنَى مُشْتَرَكْ لِأَنَّ اللَّفْظ مَعْنَى مُشْتَرَكْ. The word اللَّفْظ, when we use the word اللَّفْظ, this word has a shared meaning. This word can actually mean two things. Right? لِأَنَّ اللَّفْظ مَعْنَى مُشْتَرَكٌ بَيْنَ التَّلَفُّظ الَّذِي هُوَ فِعْلُ الْعَبْدِ وَبَيْنَ الْمَلْفُوظ بِهِ الَّذِي هُوَ الْقُرْآنِ. Okay, so what the Shaykh is explaining is that there are certain words in the Arabic language, which this is one of them, اللَّفْظ. Right? So when you have a noun, لَفْظ, which is of this form, لَفْظ, it can mean two things, right? It can. Let me give an example. Let's take the word خلق. خلق. Right? It's the same pattern. لفظٌ خلقٌ فعلٌ فعلٌ. Right? It's the same pattern. خلقٌ. When we say خلق الله, the creation of Allah, this can mean two things. It can either mean the thing created, the مخلوق, or it can mean Allah's action of creating, right? When we say the creation of Allah, here by the creation, we can either mean takhliq, right? Allah creating something, His action. So we are referring to Allah's action, khalq. Or we can refer to the thing created, which is the makhluq, right? So this type of word in the Arabic language, which has this pattern, fa'lun, like khalqun and lafzun and others, it can mean one of two things, right? It can mean, in this case, the lafz. Lafz can mean pronunciation, right? The act of the person in pronouncing or reciting, lafz. Or it can mean the thing being pronounced, the words being pronounced, right? So, because this word can mean this or that, when you say لفظي بالقرآن مخلوق, my recitation of the Quran is created, or my recitation is created, because that word can have two meanings, we don't know which meaning you are intending, right? Are you referring to the action of the servant in reciting, or are you referring to the thing being recited, to the words being recited, right? So because the word lafz has a shared meaning and it can mean either this or that, then this statement would be incorrect. It's ambiguous, right? Because what it could mean, as the Sheikh goes on to explain, لِأَنَّ اللَّفْظ, the word لَفْظ in Arabic, مَعْنَى مُشْتَرَك, it has a shared meaning. بَيْنَ التَّلَفْظ, تَلَفْظ الَّذِي هُوَ فِعْلُ الْأَبْدِ, it can either refer to تَلَفْظ, which is the act of pronunciation. This now is the servant's act of pronouncing. This is the servant's act of pronouncing. وبين الملفوظ به وبين الملفوظ به الذي هو القرآن. Or it can refer to the words which are being recited, and these words are the words of Allah. We are reciting Allah's words, right? It can refer to this or to that. فَإِذَا أَطْلَقَ الْقَوْلَ بِخَلْقِهِ شَمِلَ الْمَعْنَى الثَّانِي وَرَجَعَ إِلَى قَوْلِ الْجَهْمِيَّةِ. Right? So when a person now says, لَفْظِ بِالْقُرْآنِ مَخْلُوقَ, right, the word lafz, it can mean the servant's action of pronouncing, or it can refer to the thing being pronounced, which is Allah's speech, which is the Quran. So when a person says this speech, now he's gone back and he's saying the same thing as the Jahmiyyah. You've said that the Quran is created, right? Because lafz can mean these two things. And وَإِذَا قِيلَ غَيْرُ مَخْلُوقٍ, so when the servant says, when a person says, لَفْظِي بِالْقُرْآنِ غَيْرُ مَخْلُوقٍ, my recitation of the Qur'an is not created, then because the word لَفْظ can also mean the action of the servant, the pronunciation of the servant, now you are saying that the servant's deed when he recites the Qur'an, it is uncreated. Right, so now this, and this basically means وَهَذَا مِنْ بِدَأِ الْإِتِّحَادِيَّةِ, this now becomes from the innovations of those people who say that, you know, the servant becomes one with Allah. The servant becomes one with Allah. If something that the servant is doing is uncreated, only Allah is uncreated. So how can the servant's action be uncreated, right? So can you see the problem? Because the word al-lafz is ambiguous, it has two meanings, therefore it is incorrect to say my recitation of the Qur'an is created, or to say my recitation of the Qur'an is uncreated. Because either way you will be incorporating a false meaning. So either you will return back to the speech of the Jahmiyyah, who say the Qur'an is created, or you will enter another innovation where you will basically say that the action of the servant in reciting the Qur'an is uncreated. And so this goes back to, you know, like the speech of the Ittihadiyya, where they say that, you know, Allah unites with a person, or Allah, you know, a person unites with Allah in Ittihad, they become one with Allah, right? So ولهذا قال سلف الصالح رحمهم الله. For this reason, a righteous Salaf, they said, من قال لفظي بالقرآن مخلوق فهو جهمي ومن قال غير مخلوق فهو مبتدع. Right? Whoever said my recitation of the Quran is created, then he is a Jahmi. Right? Because they say the Quran is created. And whoever says my recitation of the Qur'an is not created, فَهُوَ مُبْتَدِئ, then he is an innovator who has innovated a, you know, something into Islam. Right, so Shaykh Ahmad al-Najmi rahimahullah, he says, لِمَاذَا وُسِفَ مَنْ قَالْ لَفْظِي بِالْقُرْآنِ مَخْلُوقِ بِأَنَّهُ جَهْمِي. Why is it, if someone comes and he says, my recitation of the Qur'an is created, why do we say this person is a Jahmi? Al-Jawab, لِأَنَّهُ إِذَا قَالَ هَذَا شَمِلَ التَّلَفُّظ وَشَمِلَ الْقُرْآنَ الْمُتَلَفَّظَ بِهِ فَيَكُونُ دَاخِلًا فِي الْمَعْنَى وَإِذَا قَالَ الْعَكْسِ فَهُوَ يَشْمَلُ أَيْدًا مِنَ الْوَجْهِ الثَّانِي. In other words, when a person says my recitation of the Qur'an is created, then, you know, this can include the talaffuz or al-mutalaffaz bihi. It can be the act of the servant in reciting, or it can be the thing being recited, which is the Qur'an, which is what Allah spoke, they are His words. Then in that case, he's returned back to the speech of the Jahmiyyah, and he's basically saying that the Qur'an is something created. وَلَكِنْ يُقَالْ, however, the correct thing to say, الْقُرْآنِ كَلَامُ اللَّهِ غير مخلوق. This is how we speak. We simply say the Quran is the speech of Allah. It is uncreated. Right? This is what we say. But when we hear these people, the Waqifa or the Lafdhiya, the Waqifa remain silent. I'm not saying anything. I'm not saying anything. This or this. And the Lafdhiya, they say my recitation of the Quran is created. This is an ambiguous statement. Why are you saying this statement? In reality, it seems that you are just finding an ambiguous statement to deceive people about your real belief. You're still trying to push your real belief, but you're using an ambiguous statement in this case. Right? Why can't you just say, Al-Qur'anu kalamullah ghayru makhluqin? Simple. The Qur'an is the speech of Allah. Allah spoke this speech. It is His speech. And it is uncreated, because whatever speech Allah speaks, it is His attribute of speech which is uncreated, therefore it is uncreated. Why don't you say this? القرآن كلام الله غير مخلوق. Why are you saying لفظي بالقرآن مخلوقا? Right? Because this is clearly a sign of deviation. So he goes on to say وإذا قيل هذا القرآن كلام الله غير مخلوق فإنه ينفى به الاحتمال الذي يحصل من الإطلاق. Right? So when we say القرآن كلام الله غير مخلوق, this is very clear speech. There is no احتمال. احتمال meaning it could mean this and it could mean that. Right? It could carry more than one meaning. And so he says, والحقيقة أن التلفظ بالقرآن أو غير مخلوق أو غيره مخلوق. Right? So when a person recites the Quran, his action of reciting, whether it's the Quran, whether it's other than the Quran, right? It is created. So whether I read the Quran or whether I read any other book and I read it with my voice, my voice, my action of doing so, that is what is created. And he says, فَالْأَلْسِنَةَ أَلَّتِي تَنْطِقُ بِهِ مَخْلُوقَ وَالْقُلُوبُ الَّتِي طعيه مخلوقة والمداد الذي يكتب به مخلوق والورق الذي يكتب به مخلوق. Right, in all these instances, the voice, the ink, the paper, everything else is created. ولكن كلام الله غير مخلوق فالقرآن كلام الله غير مخلوق. But the words in all of these instances which are being conveyed, they are the words that Allah spoke. Right, they are attributed to Him. It is Allah's speech. It is not my speech. Right, when each one of us recites Al-Fatiha in the prayer, when we say Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen all the way to the end, this is not your speech. The words do not belong to you. They are Allah's words. Allah spoke them. When Allah spoke them, Allah actually spoke them. When He spoke them, that is the uncreated speech of Allah. But when I and you recite them, when we recite them with our voices and everything else is created. That is what is created. Our action is created. Why? Because we are created. Right? But the kalam that is being conveyed, that is not our speech. That is the speech of Allah, which He spoke. Okay. Then he says, وَمَنْ قَالَ إِنَّ الْقُرْآنُ مَخْلُوقٌ فَهُوَ كَافِرٌ. Whoever says the Qur'an is created, فَهُوَ كَافِرٌ. وَمَنْ قَالَ لَفْظِي بِالْقُرْآنِ مَخْلُوقٌ فَهُوَ جَهْمِي. And the one who says, my recitation of the Qur'an is created, then he is a jahmi. وَمَنْ قَالَ غَيْرُ مَخْلُوقٍ بِدُونِ أَنْ يُثْبِتَ أَنَّهُ كَلَامُ اللَّهِ فَهُوَ مُبْتَدِي. And the one who says, my recitation of the Qur'an is not created. And he says this without establishing that it is that what he's reciting is the speech of Allah, then this person is a mubtadi. He is an innovator. Right? As for the speech of Shaykh Salih al-Shaykh, Hafidhahullah Ta'ala, then he comments upon this as well. He says, هل اللفظ بالقرآن مخلوق أو لا؟ هل يجوز أن يقول القائل لفظي بالقرآن مخلوق؟ I think he's just introducing this, the subject. When we pronounce the Qur'an, is it created? And is it permissible for a person to even say this speech? My recitation of the Qur'an is created. So he says, لَمَّا قَوِيَ أَهْلُ سُنَّةِ سَارَتْ هَذِهِ الْكَلِمَةِ لَفْظِ بِالْقُرْآنِ مَخْلُوقٍ لَا يَقُولُهَا إِلَّا جَهْمِي لِأَنَّهُ يُرِيد أَنْ يَحْرُبْ مِنْ إِلْزَامِهِ بِشَيْءٍ. Right, so basically explaining the same thing, that when the speech of Ahlul Sunnah became strong, and they said, the Qur'an is the kalam of Allah, it is uncreated, right? The only people who began to say this speech here, the ambiguous speech, my recitation of the Qur'an is created, this was only said by the Jahmiyyah. Why? Because they wanted to continue creating confusion and ambiguity in order to promote their belief. So he says, فَاللَّفْظ مَصْدَر. فَاللَّفْظ مَصْدَر. The word lafz is what we call a masdar. Masdar is what we call a verbal noun. It is a noun that represents an instance of the action stripped from time. Right? So a verb, what is a verb? A verb is an action that is in the past, present, or future. Right? It has time attached to it. It has a meaning, and it has past, present, or future. Right? Like خَلَقَ, he created, يَخْلُق, he creates, سَيَخْلُق, you know, he will create, right? Past, present, future. So the masdar, when we have a masdar, the masdar takes the meaning, an instance of it, and the concept of time is removed. So we have خَلْق, which is an instance of an act of creation, right? So here, اللفظ is a masdar. And the masdar, in this example here, يُعْنَى بِهِ تَارَةً التَّلَفُّظ وَيُعْنَى بِهِ تَارَةً الْمَلْفُوظ. Right? What we mentioned earlier. That this particular masdar, خَلْقٌ and لَفْظٌ and generally anything which has the wazan of فَعْلٌ, it can mean two things. Right? It can mean the action, or it can mean the result of the action. Right? So in this case, it can mean talaffuz, the servant, his act of reciting, or it can refer to the what is being recited. It can mean any of those two things. He says mithal, and he gives the example of khalq. يَعْنِي بِهِ التَّخْلِيقِ وَيُعْنَى بِهِ يُعْنَى بِهِ التَّخْلِيقِ وَيُعْنَى بِهِ الْمَخْلُوقِ فَنَقُولُ هَذَا خَلْقُ اللَّهِ هَذَا خَلْقُ اللَّهِ. So we say, this is the creation of Allah. We can either mean Allah's act of creating, that the heavens and the earth is خَلْقُ اللَّهِ, meaning Allah's act of creating, or we can mean the heavens and the earth is a creation. Right, that is, it can mean one or two things. So it says, وَهَذَا كَثِيرٌ فِي الْمَسَادِرِ أَلَّتِي عَلَى وَزَنْ فَعْلٍ. So this ambiguity in meaning this or that, is common in nouns in the masadir which have this measure, فَعْلٌ. Right? إِمَّا يُعْنَى بِهِ الْحَدَثْ وَإِمَّا يُعْنَى بِهِ الْمُحْدَثْ. Right? So it can either refer to the action, or it can refer to the consequence of the action. So this is just some grammatical issues here. Anyhow, coming to the point, the Sheikh says that once we understand this, it shows that when these people use this word lafzi bil Qur'ani makhluq, they are basically taking advantage of this ambiguity in the meaning. Because it can mean this and it can mean that, then they are using it in order to confuse people and to make them think that when they say, my recitation of the Qur'an is created, the people will think, oh, okay, that means the Qur'an must be created. But they're not saying it explicitly. Right? They're not saying, Al-Qur'an, Kalamullah, wa huwa makhluq. Just like Baytullah, wa Naqatullah, wa Rasulullah. Right? All of these things, we ascribe them to Allah, Rasulullah. Here, the Rasul is created, but we say Rasulullah. Naqatullah, the she-camel of Allah. The she-camel is created, but we ascribe it to Allah.
So they say Al-Qur'an Kalamullah. The Qur'an is the speech of Allah, but they don't mean his attribute, they mean something created. Al-Qur'an Kalamullah Makhluq. Yeah? Al-Naqa, Naqatullah, وهي مخلوقة. Right? The she-camel is the she-camel of Allah, but it's something created. This is what they mean. Right? But they're not saying that openly. They're not saying that openly. Instead, they are saying, لَفْظِي بِالْقُرْآنِ مَخْلُوقٍ. My recitation of the Qur'an is created in order to deceive people. So, the Sheikh says, لِهَذَا سَارَتِ الْكَلِمَةِ مُحْتَمَلَةِ وَاسْتِعْمَالَ الْمُحْتَمَلَاتِ فِي الْعَقِيدَةِ بِدْعَةِ. Right? So, this word, اللفظ, is an ambiguous word. It can have different meanings. And this is why, as a principle in our aqidah, it is an innovation to use ambiguous words. And when we speak in matters of aqidah and creed, we are not allowed to use any ambiguous words. Why? Because this is the foundation of misguidance. فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَجُوزُ أَن نَسْتَعْمِلَ مِثْلَ هَذِهِ الْعِبَارَةِ الَّتِي قَدْ تَحْتَمِلْ شَيْئًا آخَرَ فَيَفْهَمُ النَّاسُ منها فحما غير سليم. Right, so it is not permissible for us to use these ambiguous expressions, because this could lead people to believe or to understand something that is erroneous, to have a faulty understanding. ولهذا كان الإمام أحمد يقول من قال لفظي بالقرآن مخلوق فهو مبتدئ وَمَنْ قَالَ لَفْظِي بِالْقُرْآنِ غَيْرُ مَخْلُوقٍ فَهُوَ مُبْتَدِعَ أَيْدًا. Right? So we don't say either way. We don't say my recitation of the Qur'an is created, nor do we say my recitation of the Qur'an is not created. Both of these are innovations, right? We don't say any of these. And لِأَنَّهَا تَحْتَمِلُ هَذِهِ وَهَذِهِ, because it can carry different meanings, both meanings. وَالْإِطْلَاقَ سَكَتَ عَنْهُ السَّلَفُ وَقَدْ قَالَ جَلَّ وَعَلَى يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَقُولُوا رَائِنَا وَقُولُوا انظُرْنَا وَاسْمَعُوا. Right? The Sheikh is giving an example of how the Yahud, the Jews, in this ayah, O you who believe, do not say ra'ina, ra'ina, وَقُولُوا انظُرْنَا وَاسْمَعُوا. Right? So, in the Arabic language, when you say ra'ina, it means observers, give us attention. Right? But in the language of the Jews, ra'ina, it means, it's like a bad word. It means, oh fool, oh foolish one. So when the Jews, when they heard the companions using this word, they said to themselves, well, before we could mock and revile the messenger of Allah in secret, this is what we would do. Now we can do it openly. Now we can do it openly. We'll say to him, we'll say to him, Ra'ina. Right? And they mean to mock him. So this ayah was revealed to tell the companions, do not say Ra'ina, but say Unzurna. Use a different word. Why? Because Ra'ina now, in one language, it means one thing. In another language, it means something else. So because of the ambiguity, the word, the usage of this word was prohibited. Right? Because Allah Azza wa Jalla, He said, La تقولوا, لا, a prohibition, لا تقولوا رائنا. Why? Because of the ambiguity. So, therefore, it is a principle, as the Sheikh goes on to say, نحي عنها للإحتمال فأخذ أهل السنة من هذا أصلا عظيما. So, from this ayah, and there's others as well, the Ahl al-Sunnah have taken a principle, that a mighty principle, that هو أن الألفاظ المحتملة فيما يتصل بذات الله جل وعلا أو صفاته أو أفعاله أو أمور العقيدة والغيبيات لا يجوز استعمالها. Right? So words which can have more than one meaning, when it relates to Allah's essence or His names or His attributes or the affairs of Aqeedah or the affairs of the unseen, it is not permissible to use such ambiguous words. And so therefore they have been prohibited. And, you know, to use these types of ambiguities, it is an innovation in the religion. وَلِهَذَا قَالَ إِبْنُ الْقَيِّمُ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهِ. And the Shaykh mentions some well-known poetry from Ibn al-Qayyim. فَعَلَيْكَ بِالتَّفْسِيلِ وَالتَّمْيِيزِ فَالْإِطْلَاقِ وَالْإِجْمَالِ دُونَ بَيَانِ قَدْ أَفْسَدَ هَذَا الْوُجُودِ وَخَبَّتَ الْأَذْهَانِ وَالْآرَاءِ كُلَّ زَمَانِ. Right, so Ibn al-Qayyim is saying that you must use التفصيل, you must use detail, unambiguous, التمييز, right, unambiguous, distinguished speech, because الإطلاق والإجمال, when you use ambiguities and, you know, unqualified statements without any bayan, without any detail, this is what has corrupted this existence and has caused the minds and the opinions of every time, of every era, to stumble. Right? To make a mistake and to stumble. So meaning that all of the problems that happen in creation, meaning misunderstandings between people and all the evils that they lead to of separation, disputes, even wars, everything, all of it stems from using ambiguous, generalized speech, which has no tamyiz, has no distinction, has no whatever. Right? So meaning all issues that arise between mankind, they stem from the violation of this principle. And the whole of existence, this creation, has been corrupted because of the violation of this principle. Right? So it shows how mighty it is, and especially in the affairs of creed. So this really brings us to the end of the discussion of the Quran. So in summary, we were looking at the third pillar of the six pillars of Iman, Al-Imanu Bil-Kutub. We spoke generally about how do we believe in Allah's books. Then we moved on to the Quran, which is the last of Allah's revelations. And we spoke about what it means to believe in the Qur'an. And then we looked at this issue of the Qur'an being the kalam of Allah, the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We mentioned what is the saying of Ahlul Sunnah, Al-Qur'an, Kalamullah, Ghayru Makhluq. Right? It is not created. We don't mean the paper, the ink. We don't mean the reciter's voice. We're not speaking about that. We are speaking the words. Those words, they belong to Allah because Allah is the one who first spoke them. And when He spoke them, His speech is uncreated. This is why the Qur'an is uncreated. This does not mean that Allah's speech left Him and entered the creation. You know, we spoke about this in the previous lesson, which gives rise, you know, to the saying of the Christians regarding Isa alayhi salam, that Isa alayhi salam is the word of Allah and he is the flesh. You know, he's in the creation, but he's God, and you know this misguided belief. So this is erroneous. Allah's attribute does not leave him and enter the creation. This, you know, attributes of things do not leave them, and you know. So we spoke about that in detail. You can refer back to the previous lesson. And today we kind of really discussed two groups of people, the Waqifa and the Lafdhiya, and how they have an ambiguous position and they don't speak with clear, unambiguous words, and so they remain upon misguidance on that basis. This now leads us to the next pillar of belief, which is Ar-Rusul. So you have Al-Imanu Billah wa Malaikatihi wa Kutubihi, and the fourth one is Ar-Rusul. So question number 87, مَا دَلِيلُ الْإِيمَانِ بِالرُّسُلِ. So Sheikh Hafiz al-Hakimi rahimullah, he says, أَدِلَّتُهُ كَثِيرَةٌ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ وَالسُنَّةِ. The evidences for this pillar to believe in the messengers, they are many, from the book and the sunnah. مِنْهَا قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى. From it is the statement of Allah, the exalted, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَكْفُرُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَرُسُلِهِ وَيُرِيدُونَ أَن يُفَرِّقُوا بَيْنَ اللَّهِ وَرُسُلِهِ وَيَقُولُونَ نُؤْمِنُ بِبَعْدٍ وَنَكْفُرُ بِبَعْدٍ وَيُرِيدُونَ أَن يَتَّخِذُوا بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ سَبِيلًا أُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْكَافِرُونَ حَقًّا وَأَعْتَدْنَا لِلْكَافِرِينَ عَذَابًا مُهِينًا وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرُسُلِهِ وَلَمْ يُفَرِّقُوا بَيْنَ أَحَدٍ مِنْهُمْ أُولَئِكَ سَوْفَ يُؤْتِيهِمْ أُجُورَهُمْ. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم آمنت بالله ورسله. So here the Sheikh says, he gives an ayah and he gives a hadith. The ayah, in this ayah Allah says, indeed those who disbelieve in Allah and His messengers and they desire to distinguish between Allah and His messengers and they say we believe in some and we disbelieve in others and they wish to take between that like a middle path, they are the disbelievers in truth. And we have prepared for the disbelievers a humiliating punishment. And as for those who believe in Allah and His messengers and do not distinguish between any of them, they are the ones who will be given their reward. And the Prophet ﷺ, he said in a hadith, "Amantu billahi wa rusulihi," I believe in Allah and in His messengers. Hadith in Bukhari and Muslim. So here, this is clear proof that it is obligatory to believe in the messengers. Right? This is what the ayah shows. And the messenger himself said, I believe in Allah and in His messengers. Right? So here in this ayah and the hadith, there's two things. The first is the one who says, I believe in Allah, but none of the messengers. I believe in Allah, not the messengers. Right? This person is a disbeliever. And the one who says, I believe in Allah and some of the messengers and not other messengers, right? Then this person is also a disbeliever, right? The one who says, I believe in Ibrahim alayhi salam and Musa alayhi salam, but I don't believe in Isa alayhi salam. Like the Yahud, for example, they come under this ayah. And likewise, the Nasara who say we believe in, you know, Ibrahim and Musa alayhi salam, but we reject Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These two are disbelievers, right? So to distinguish between Allah and His messengers, or to distinguish among the messengers, that is, has been declared disbelief in the Quran. So this is a proof of the obligation to believe in all of the messengers, right? So this is the evidence. Sheikh Ahmad al-Najmi rahimahullah, he says, الإيمان بالرسل هو ركن من أركان الإيمان ولا يصح إيمان عبد إلا بعد أن يؤمن بالرسالات السماوية السابقة يؤمن بها إجمالا ويؤمن برسالة نبينا صلى الله عليه وسلم تفصيلا. Right, so belief in the messengers is from the pillars of Iman. No servant's Iman is valid except after he believes in all of the messages that have come from the heaven previously. He believes them in a general sense. But as for the messengership of Muhammad, our Prophet Muhammad, he has to believe in it in detail. What does it mean? It means that every little thing, every small, or you know, the pillars, the obligations, and every other thing that the messenger came with, then he must believe in it, right? He says, for example, إِنَّ اللَّهَ حَرَّمَ قَتْلَ الْمُسْلِمِ. Allah has prohibited the killing of a Muslim. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ حَرَّمَ الزِّنَا. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ حَرَّمَ الْخَمَرِ. وَفَرَضَ الصَّلَوَاتِ الْخَمْسِ إِلَى غَيْرِ ذَلِكَ. Right? So every command, every prohibition, every khabar, he believes in all of it because all of it is from the messengership, the risala of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And أَمَّا الرُّسُلُ أَسَابِقُونَ الَّذِينَ مَضُوا فِي الْأَزْمِنَةِ السَّابِقَةِ فَهَذَا نُؤْمِنُ بِهِمْ إِجْمَالًا الَّذِينَ سَمَّاهُمُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. As for all previous messengers, we believe in them in a general sense, in the sense that we say we believe that there were
messengers Allah sent to the people, and you know they conveyed his message and so on and so forth. As for Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafidhahullahu ta'ala, he says, al-iman bil-rusul, al-imanu bil-rusul huwa ahadu arkan al-iman as-sitta. It is one of the six pillars of iman. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم الإيمان أن تؤمن أن تؤمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله. Iman is that you believe in Allah and His angels and His books and His messengers. فالإيمان بالرسل هو أحد أركان الإيمان فلا بد من الإيمان بالرسل جميع من الإيمان بالرسل جميعهم من أولهم إلى آخرهم. So it is necessary to believe in all of the messengers from the first to the last. فَمَنْ جَحَدَ رَسُولًا وَاحِدًا مِنْهُمْ فَهُوَ كَافِرٌ بِالْجَمِيعِ. Anyone who disbelieves in a single one of them, then he has disbelieved in all of them. كما قال تعالى, then he mentioned the same ayah that we just mentioned. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَكْفُرُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَرُسُلِهِ to the end of the ayah, al-ayah. Indeed, those who disbelieve in Allah and His messengers to the rest. So he brings the ayah as a proof to show that anyone who disbelieves in a single messenger and distinguishes between the messengers, then he is a disbeliever. فَلَا بُدْ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ بِجَمِيعِ الرُّسُلِ مِنْ أَوَّلِهِمْ إِلَىٰ آخِرِهِمْ مَنْ سَمَّ اللَّهُ مِنْهُمْ فِي كِتَابِهِ وَمَنْ لَمْ يُسَمْ فَإِنَّ الرُّسُلِ كَثِيرُونَ وَلِهَذَا جَاءَ فِي الْحَدِيثِ. So we have to believe in all of the messengers, the first to the last, those Allah named, those He did not name. And there has come in the hadith, أَنَّ عَدَدَهُمْ مِئَةُ أَلْفٍ وَأَرْبَعَةٌ وَعِشْرُونَ أَلْفًا الرُّسُلُ مِنْ ذَلِكَ ثَلَاثَ مِئَةٌ وَخَمْسَةَ عَشْرَ جَمًّا غَفِيرًا. So in an authentic hadith, there is that there are 124,000 prophets sent, and among them are 315 messengers. Right? So there are 315 messengers. So he says, فَهُمْ رُسُلْ كَثِيرُونَ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ سَمَّ اللَّهُ فِي كِتَابِهِ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ لَمْ يُسَمْ فَيَجِبُ عَلَيْنَا الْإِيمَانِ بِجَمِيعِهِمْ مِنْ أَوَّلِهِمْ إِلَى آخِرِهِمْ. Right, so there are many, many messengers. Some are named, some are unnamed, but we must believe in all of them without distinguishing between any one of them. This leads us to question number 88, and we'll finish with this question. We'll read the question and answer, and we'll comment on it next week, inshallah ta'ala. So this next question, was about the evidence, the dalil. What is the dalil that that believing in the messengers is from the pillars of iman? So we mentioned one ayah, we mentioned one hadith, which is clearly is a proof. The next one is ما معنى الإيمان بالرسل. What is the meaning of believing in the messengers? This means, how do we believe in the messengers? Now we know that it's an obligation. We know it is a pillar of from the pillars of iman. We've looked at the evidences. What does it actually mean? What does it entail to believe in the messengers? So here, this is a very important answer, and it explains to us the nature of our belief in the messengers. So he says, الشيخ حافظ الحكمي رحمه الله هو التصديق الجازم هو التصديق الجازم. It is firm belief بأن الله تعالى that Allah the Exalted بعث في كل أمة الرسول رسولا منهم. It is the firm belief that Allah sent in every single nation that's ever come upon this earth, that He has sent from among themselves a messenger, right? يدعوهم إلى عبادة الله وحده والكفر بما يعبد من دونه. Right. So every nation has had a messenger sent to it. That messenger, what did he call? He called them to worship Allah alone and to shun the worship of every false deity, of every other thing. Every other thing. To worship only Allah alone. وأن جميعهم صادقون مصدقون. Right, that we believe that all of them were truthful men, and that they were believed by people to be truthful men. Right, that they were known to be truthful by their people before they became messengers. Right, they weren't known to be
liars or anything like that. They were sadiqoon, musaddaqoon. Right? They were truthful and their people knew them to be truthful. Sadiqoon, musaddaqoon, barun, rashidun. That they were righteous. That they were known to be righteous. Rashidun, that they were upon like an upright way. They were upon a straight way. They were not known by their people to be crooked or to be evil or to have, you know, any kind of bad character or something like this. They were known to be barun, rashidun. Kiramun barara, that they were noble and righteous. Atqiya, umana, that they were also known to be pious. And they were trustworthy. They were trustworthy. Hudatun muhtadun, that they were those who guided the people and they themselves were guided. Wabil barahin al-zahira wal-ayat al-bahira min rabbihim mu'ayyadun. And also that they were supported by their Lord. They were aided by Allah by way of clear evidences, apparent evidences, proofs, and signs, clear signs. وَأَنَّهُمْ بَلَّغُوا جَمِيعَ مَا أَرْسَلَهُمُ اللَّهُ بِهِ وَلَمْ يَقْتُمُوا وَلَمْ يُغَيِّرُوا وَلَمْ يَزِيدُوا فِيهِ مِنْ عِنْدِ أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرْفًا وَلَمْ يَنْقُصُوا. Right, so we believe that they conveyed, all of them, they conveyed whatever Allah sent them with. They did not conceal it, nor did they change it by adding something to it, even a single letter, nor by taking something from it, not even a single letter. فَهَلْ عَلَى الرُّسُلْ إِلَّا الْبَلَاغُ الْمُبِينَ, as Allah says in the Quran. Is there anything upon the messengers except to make the plain conveyance? وَأَنَّهُمْ كُلُّهُمْ كَانُوا عَلَى الْحَقِّ الْمُبِينَ, and that we believe that all of them were manifestly upon the truth. وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى اتَّخَذَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ خَلِيلًا, and then we believe some specific things about specific messengers that we've been told about, that Allah took Ibrahim alayhi salam as his khalil, intimate friend. وَاتَّخَذَ مُحَمَّدًا صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ خَلِيلًا. Likewise, he took our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a khalil, as a close friend. وَكَلَّمَ مُوسَى تَقْلِيمًا, and he spoke to Moses direct. وَرَفَعَ إِدْرِيسَ مَكَانًا عَلِيًّا, and that he gave Idris عليه السلام a lofty station. وَأَنَّ عِيسَى عَبْدُ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولُهُ, and that Isa is the slave of Allah and his messenger. وَكَلِمَتُهُ أَلْقَاهَا إِلَى مَرْيَمْ وَرُوحٌ مِّنْهُ, and that he is a word, meaning the word of command, meaning be, that he sent to Maryam عليه السلام, and a spirit from himself. وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ فَضَّلَ بَعْدَهُمْ عَلَى بَعْدٍ وَرَفَعَ بَعْدَهُمْ دَرَجَاتٍ, and that we believe that Allah has given some messengers an excellence over others, and that he has raised some messengers over others. Right? So, all of this is what it means in a nutshell to have iman in the messengers. All of these things that were mentioned, the Shaykh has summarized it beautifully, that we affirm belief that Allah has sent to every nation a messenger with the call to tawheed, to worship Allah alone and abandon false gods. And about these messengers, who were they? What were they? They were truthful, honest, righteous, trustworthy men, and that they were guides who guided people, and that they were then supported by Allah by evidences, different types of evidences, by miracles and to prove that they were actually indeed truthful as a proof against their people, and that they also conveyed everything and they fulfilled their duty. They never fell short, nor did they add, nor did they change the message, nor did they conceal anything. Right? So they fulfilled the trust that Allah gave to them. And then among the messengers, there are those which have virtues and excellences over others. So we believe in these virtues and excellences that some are better than others, even though in the asal, in the foundation of Risala and Nubuwa, they are the same. Right? So we don't distinguish between them and say, this one's a messenger, that one's not a messenger, this one's a prophet, that one's a prophet. No, we believe in all of them. We treat them all equally in the asal of the risala and the nabuwa. But then there are certain unique things with each messenger that Allah favored each one with that He did not give to others. Right? So Musa alayhi salam, He spoke to him directly. Isa alayhi salam, He, you know, gave him something unique. He was born without, you know, he was born of no father. And, you know, he was given certain miracles. And then so each of the prophets and messengers, they have certain things which are, you know, Ibrahim al-Islam was a Khalil. But our messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then he is the most virtuous, the most excellent of all of them. So we establish that Allah has given some virtue and excellence over others, even though in principle, they're all the same. We do not distinguish between them in the asl of the risala and the nabuwa. Right? So that is, in essence, what we have to believe in relation to this fourth pillar of iman, al-imanu bil-rusul. So we'll stop there. In the next lesson, we look at the commentary upon this answer, insha'Allah ta'ala. So we'll finish there for today. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'een.